Now, after a chaotic first debate, the final US presidential standoff between Donald Trump and Joe Biden was much more civilized last night. The two candidates interrupted each other less as they clashed on issues including the pandemic, crime and race. Joe Biden said the US president was someone who pours fuel on every single racist fire. Donald Trump, in turn, implied that his opponent was corrupt. If you watched it, let us know your thoughts. If you missed it, here's some highlights.
I say we're learning to live with it. We have no choice. We can't lock ourselves up in a basement like Joe does. He has the he has the ability to lock himself up. I don't know. He's obviously made a lot of money someplace, but he has this thing about living in a basement. People can't do that.
He says that we're learning to live with it. People are learning to die with it. You folks home will have an empty chair at the kitchen table this morning. That man or wife going to bed tonight and reaching over to try to touch their, out of habit, where their wife or husband was, is gone. Learning to live with it. Come on. We're dying with it.
The kind of money that you were raking in, you and your family. And Joe, you were vice president when some of this was happening. And it should have never happened. And I think you owe an explanation to the American people.
I have not taken a penny from any foreign source ever in my life. We learned that this president paid 50 times the tax in China, has a secret bank account with China, does business in China, and in fact is talking about me taking money. He doesn't want to talk about the substantive issues. It's not about his family and my family. It's about your family. And your family's hurting badly. If you're making less than, if you're a middle-class family, you're getting hurt badly right now. You're sitting at the kitchen table this morning deciding, well, we can't get new tires, they're bald, because we have to wait another month or so.
That's a typical political statement. Let's get off this China thing, and then he looks. The family, around the table, everything. Just a typical politician when I see that.
Let's talk about North
Korea. I'm not a typical politician.
Okay,
that's why I got elected.
Let's
get off the subject of China. Let's talk around sitting around the table.
All right.
Come on, Joe, you can do better. I am the least racist person. I can't even see the audience because it's so dark, but I don't care who's in the audience. I'm the least racist person in this room.
Okay, Vice President Biden, Abraham, let me ask you very quickly, and then I have a follow-up question for you.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire. Every single one. He started off his campaign coming down the escalator saying he's going to get rid of those Mexican rapists.
You made a reference to Abraham Lincoln. Where did that come in?
I mean, you said you're Abraham Lincoln.
No, where did that? No.
You said,
I said not since Abraham Lincoln has anybody done what I've done for the black community.
Some of the highlights there of last night's U.S. presidential debate. To discuss it now, I'm joined on the line by law lecturer at NUI Galway and U.S. political commentator with the journal.ie, Larry Donnelly. Larry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thanks very much for joining us. Last time out, we were, I think, both despairing at what we saw from Mr. Trump and Biden. Last night, however, a more subdued affair, dare I say, a normal political debate.
Yeah, certainly by the standards of the first debate, it was much better in the sense that it was much more focused on the issues. Both candidates, in particular Donald Trump, were more restrained. There was no over-the-top interrupting. I think it needs to be said that the debate moderator, Kristen Welker, did a very, very good job. I think she was helped by the fact that both of the candidates were determined to be more restrained, but also I think she took charge from the beginning, and it worked well. It flowed quite well.
Were you, like me, surprised at the extent to which Donald Trump dialed back his aggression, shall we say? I still thought he would be, if not as aggressive as a few weeks ago, I still thought that he'd be more, or trying to be more, in the front foot, shall we say?
Yeah, I was surprised to some extent. I mean, I think I was surprised more than anything by the fact that he clearly listened to his close advisors, who I know were desperate that he not have the same kind of performance last time around as he did last time around. And what it tells me in particular is that the president knows that he overstepped the mark, and he knows he did some damage to himself politically. I think in terms of this race, before that first debate, most of us were saying, this is anybody's ball game. Anyone can have this. The president's troubles and his dropping in the polls really started in that first debate. And I think a lot of people, a lot of his supporters, after watching last night, are wishing he had performed in the first debate the way he did last night.
He still, though, if the polls are correct, he still needed to win and win well last night. Did he do that?
No, I mean, I think you can make a pretty cogent argument that he won the debate on points, but he didn't have the type of command performance that he needed to have to alter the fundamental dynamics of the race. And those fundamental dynamics are that Joe Biden is in pole position. Joe Biden himself didn't have a great night. He did okay, but by doing okay, given the status of the polls, he arguably emerges the winner.
I wonder, and look, at the US media is going to be full of reaction to this debate later on today when they wake up stateside for their Friday morning. I wonder, are you going to see, probably from the Republican side, kind of cut-ups of some of Joe Biden's verbal missteps? There weren't a lot of them, don't get me wrong, but there were times he tripped over his words. Sometimes, and I think I made this point to you a few weeks ago as well, he would almost laugh when the president attacked him. It made me feel somewhat uneasy looking at him, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely, when he was trying to have that kind of killer line or riposte to the president, he couldn't, he just wasn't able to get it off because he'd fumble over a word or he'd struggle for words. You mentioned the optics of him laughing and smiling, which I don't think are good. But the other optics I noticed last night were that when he was trying to make a point or when he was trying to make reference to statistics, he actually looked like he was in physical pain trying to search for and dig out the relevant information. And that will go to what some of the Republicans say about, you know, his having lost the speed off his fastball, him having, you know, a touch of dementia or, you know, being a little bit too old for the job. I think, indeed, Republicans will try to make as much hay of that as they possibly can. But at this stage, that stuff really isn't a mystery to the American people. And I think what Biden probably did effectively last night was, again, to appear presidential. He didn't get down into the nitty-gritty. He didn't get into dirty stuff. I thought effectively he, again, was more presidential last night.
At one point in particular, President Trump brought up Hunter Biden and allegations in relation to business dealings of his in the Ukraine, in China, in Russia, suggestions that Joe Biden had made money off this, claims which Mr. Biden refutes. Did that in any way land with the American people?
I don't think it did. I think a lot of President Trump's allies view this as the smoking gun, that is this laptop computer, which contains all sorts of messages on it pertaining to meetings that Hunter Biden allegedly organized with his father, money and profiteering off their various relationships, et cetera. I actually think most Americans have decided that this isn't a big issue in the context in which we now find ourselves. I don't think it's going to have a significant impact on people's votes. And I think there's a side issue here. And I think, in a way, Joe Biden missed a trick. The reality is I think a lot of Americans think that Hunter Biden was a very troubled individual. Many Americans know of people who've had problems with addiction like Hunter Biden. If Joe Biden were to have admitted and been frank and said, look, I should have been tougher on my son. I know that. My son made some very bad decisions. But the reality is he was a lost soul. He was in addiction. Any of my shortcomings or any of my going easy on him came because he's my son and I loved him. I love him. I think if he said that, the issue would go away altogether. But in the end, I just don't think it's going to have the kind of traumatic impact Republicans hoped it would.
What about then on the other side, the issue of the pandemic? Clearly, the Biden camp have been vociferous in going after Donald Trump and his handling of COVID-19. If the president didn't land much of a punch with regards to the allegations of impropriety, I don't know if Joe Biden either managed to land much of a point on the issue of the virus.
No, I thought in the debate last night it was pretty much a stalemate. But the reality is, and this is why the polls are the way they are, is that President Trump's support among older Americans, over 65s, the very people who put him in the White House last time around, that support has declined precipitously since the onset of the pandemic. And when you look at those figures time and time again, it seems that older people have gone off the president because of the way they perceive his administration has mishandled the pandemic. So all in all, that is something working against him. And it needs to be said that, you know, no matter what, I think the incumbent would suffer as a result of coronavirus.
I don't know if there was anything much else that jumped out to you from last night, but it was a well-behaved debate. It was a somewhat subdued debate compared to what would have been expected on what's been a somewhat subdued campaign, bizarrely, considering the stakes that are at play. 11 days now to go.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that the campaign's dynamics have been altered completely by the coronavirus. I think I said to you before, one of the things about that is that it's actually helped Joe Biden, who would have struggled had the candidates had to have this kind of barnstorming 24/7 all around the country type of campaign. That hasn't been expected of the candidates. Donald Trump has tried a little of that. Indeed, he's come in for criticism because of these rallies at which people aren't masked up, where there's no social distancing. As a result, Joe Biden has benefited. And indeed, I know he's in Delaware, I think, today. I think he's going to Pennsylvania the day after. But Joe Biden's going to, in a relative sense, I suspect he'll be largely out of sight, relatively speaking. He's going to try to avoid any mistakes, any gaffes, anywhere where he can, commit a blunder. So I think, again, that will be strange in the closing days of a presidential election.
But that would be the tactics of somebody who thinks they've got it wrapped up.
Yes, and I think that behind the scenes, my sense is that Democrats are quietly confident. Of course, everybody's reticent to call this thing because of how the polls were wrong last time around. But I think the big differences now are, first, Joe Biden is personally far more popular than Hillary Clinton was. And I think, second, I think the Democrats detect and the polls show a real sense of Trump fatigue that didn't exist last time around. Trump hasn't been able, one of the things that was notable last night, what were the two themes that brought Trump to the White House were his mantras about America first and make America great again. He couldn't get near either one of those last night, arguably because circumstances dictate against it. So I think the president is in serious trouble.
Is the race over then, barring something that we don't know about right now, something unforeseen?
I'm loath to call it over, but barring something unforeseen, barring the polls being drastically wrong, the reality is Donald Trump's path to the White House is straight uphill and there's very little time left.
A week is a long time in politics. There's only a week and a half to go. I won't pin you to the wall on that one, but I will thank you for joining us this morning. Larry Donnelly, thank you very much for joining us again on the show.
Thank you.